Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the bunker. Thank you for joining us for another exciting episode. Just a couple announcements. The bunker is now available for video episodes on YouTube and on Spotify. If you've, it's no big deal for you if you've already been following us on Spotify. But we're going to have video episodes available on there pretty soon. And it's going to be an occasional thing for now. But, we'll see where that goes in the future. But, yeah, and I also have a Substack where I occasionally write articles about paranormal things, investigations we have, my thoughts on certain things, and so forth. All links for these will be in the show notes. We also have Beth just booked the Burlington County Prison Museum for an investigation on this upcoming June 8th at 6:45 p.m. You're going to need to reach out to her on Facebook and book a spot. I believe we have 10 spots available as of right now that could sell out pretty quickly. We'll let you know. It's $50 per person, but again, the links for that will be in the show notes. So if you live in the South Jersey area, or even in the tri-state area, you want to come to Burlington, New Jersey and investigate the prison museum with us, you're more than welcome. Just reach out, follow the link. That will be in the show notes. And so without further ado, enjoy this great conversation with Bart Sabrell. We are here with Bart Sabrell. He is the author of Moon Man, Story of a Filmmaker on the CIA Hit List. And he's also the writer, producer, and director of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which is how I discovered you. A fantastic documentary. I was really struck by the tone that you set in the beginning of that. I felt it was brilliantly written. And I just loved how you sort of set the stage of how you sort of took the temperature of the country leading up to that event, explaining why so many people socially needed that event, the government and society in general needed that event, because there were so many other very negative things happening and unrest happening. And, you know, I really loved how you started off with that. But I would love to hear exactly how did you get introduced to this topic, and how did this whole sort of journey begin for you?
Yeah, for those who are listening who have never seen A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, they can just go to my website, Sabrell, S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sabrell.com, and watch it for free right there on the homepage. And I grew up, like most people, believing the moon landings are real. In fact, probably more so. My father was in the Air Force. When it happened, I was 4 years old, asleep in bed. It was past my bedtime. However, he was an officer, and he got a VIP kind of commemorative package of Apollo 11 pictures, and he gave them to me, and that was kind of my most treasured possession. And I put them on my bedroom wall, kind of all together, about maybe 15 9x12 pictures. And we moved, of course, being in the military, about every 2 years, and wherever I went, that was a prominent place in my bedroom wall. So from about the age of 4 to 14, even if I saw them just once a day, that would be 3,650 times. Probably saw them three times a day at least. So, I saw these pictures of them standing on the surface of the moon over 10,000 times, and was the biggest fan of the moon missions. And then when I was 14, I watched a television program with a gentleman who worked for NASA during the Apollo for 6 years, with security clearance only second to Von Braun, the rocket designer. And he confessed he saw a memo from Von Braun to the Pentagon warning them that they were not going to be able to keep their schedule, that if they tried, there was only a 1 in 10,000 chance of doing it successfully and a 99.999% chance of killing the crew. And apparently they bluffed, like in poker. They had a deadline, and they intended on keeping it. And in fact, that was the only time in the entire history of NASA that they've ever met a deadline. First and only time. the most complicated mission of all time.
Wow.
And of course, today we can only travel 1,000th the distance to the moon. Do you understand that? With 54 years better technology, the farthest that NASA can send an astronaut into space is only 250 miles. I mean, just pick a city 250 miles away, make that vertical, and that's as far as they can go into space because of deadly radiation. And so, what they're really saying is, back when all of NASA computers combined had 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone, they went 1,000 times farther on the first attempt than they can go today with 5 decades better technology. So what they're really saying is they had 1,000 times greater space traveling technology in 1969 than they do today. But that's obviously a scientific and historical impossibility. There's never in the entire history of the world been a moment in time where technology is greater in the past than in the future. In fact, after they blew up the atomic bomb for the first time in 1945, just 10 years later, atomic bombs were 1,000 times more powerful. So if they could go to the moon on the first attempt with 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone, we would have been on Mars 10 years later. We'd be in another solar system by now, and there'd be bases all over the moon. But there aren't. And the problem is, people are emotionally attached to this. This is a positive lie. I mean, whoever killed Kennedy, he's still dead. Whoever did 9/11, they're still dead. That's negative lies. This is positive. This is giving people what they want. They want to glory in the greatness of America and wave their flags and give them medals of honor, all of which they did. And yet, it was much easier to fool the public than people realize. I mean, the number one argument as to why the moon landings must be real is it involved a couple of 100,000 people. They don't know that the atomic bomb during World War II, that was a big secret. That was the biggest secret of all time. That involved 129,500 people, and yet only 8 knew what they were building. There's only 3 eyewitnesses once they go up in the rocket, and the flight director, Eugene Krantz, and I've spoken to him, he said that a computer controller in the command center can tell no difference whatsoever between a simulated flight and a quote real flight. It's just a bunch of numbers going by on a screen. So if they can't tell the difference in the command center, I don't see how we could tell the difference as a 10-year-old or however old we were back then watching it on TV. And it's this emotional attachment. You know what I mean? I'm sure Hitler, if he had children, would think that he was a great guy. You know what I mean? Try to tell Hitler's children that he's a horrific racist monster. They won't believe you. And we're trying to tell the public to give up this candy, and we want to give them manure instead, and they'll defend the candy until their dying breath. There are college professors I've talked to teaching aerospace who said even if an Apollo astronaut confessed on national TV that he faked the moon landings, this college professor said he would still believe he walked on the moon anyway. And that's what we're up against. I mean, people say they want to bring down the corruption. This is the key. If America finds out they faked the moon landing, I think that's going to outrage them in a way that whoever shot JFK won't. And so I pray and hope the truth will come out. I mean, the most amazing thing about the moon landing, conspiracy, if you want to call it, is that it's true. And as you know from the book of Moon Man, which I read the audio version myself, but it's also on Kindle and print at Sibrel.com. The culmination of that book is a deathbed confession of an eyewitness who saw them film Apollo 11 at Cannon Air Force Base in 1968 and even confessed to murdering a coworker to cover it up as he was dying. And you don't make that stuff up as you're dying. And so we have more than enough proof. The book is interactive with 17 video clips, which you could see for free at Sibrel.com. Don't have to buy the book. We have NASA employees saying the technology necessary to go to the moon has yet to be invented. I don't know what more to say. It is the way that it is. And this just shows you the sad, sad state of not just the country, but the world. I mean, when I found out that they didn't go, when I discovered the classified footage you've seen, and anyone can see it at Sabrell.com on the homepage, and a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, this footage of them faking being halfway to the moon with a 1 foot model of the Earth, I was shocked and I just quietly wept. It just broke my heart. I mean, this is how low mankind is. We can't even tell the truth to one another about going to the moon. It was an unnecessary lie. Why? They didn't have to do it. And when Clinton was asked, why did you have the affair? He said, because he could, meaning because he could get away with it, he did it. And that's the arrogance of our leaders. They got away with killing Kennedy. They got away with the Vietnam War hoax. And they emboldened them to do this. And they got away with that. And until these criminals are caught and exposed, they're going to keep using our money to lie to us and to kill people who try to cover it up. That's my rant. Back to you, Michael.
100%, 100%. And, you know, the number one thing, a couple of things struck me. The first thing was like, you know, where I said you took the temperature of America sort of in the very beginning of that documentary. It was amazing. The next thing that really struck me was watching the actual footage of the astronauts in, you know, low Earth orbit with those beautiful color videos. Like that was, I look at it now and I think, wow, that's amazing that they had that. You know, the impact of that, if they had just showcased that, that would have been amazing in and of itself to see those beautiful color videos of these guys in space, you know, but it's like the major theme of the book and the documentary, I think, is the danger of pride. And it was the pride that drove them to take a feat that was amazing in and of itself, which is to shoot a rocket with three guys in the nose, launch it into low Earth orbit and have them float around the Earth. That's amazing in and of itself. But it's the pride that got to them that said, oh, we need to beat the Russians. The Russians are wiping the floor with us. They, you know, they had the first satellite. They had the first, you know, they sent a monkey up, and then they sent the first man up, and they had the first moonwalk, and then had the first, you know, multiple spacecrafts orbiting, filming each other, right? And here we're still stuck That's down right. here. And it's
yeah, I mean, they did everything first. The yes. Soviets launched the first satellite, the first animal, the first man, the first woman, the first spacewalk, the first crew of three, the first of two spacecrafts at the same time. For every 10 hours NASA spent in space, they spent 50 hours. They were so much more advanced, and they never went to the moon. In fact, the former director of the Russian Space Agency said less than a year ago that the moon landings were fake. That's what he said. And now we have breaking news. Just a couple of months ago, there was this big convention. You know, I'm in broadcasting. They have something called the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters. It's the biggest convention in the entire world. It takes up two or three of the largest convention centers in the world in Vegas. And you look at the latest video camera you want to buy or whatever. And they have automobile conventions where you get to see the car that can go 150 miles an hour, you know, per gallon, that somehow never makes it to the street. And they had a big AI computer conference a couple of months ago. And they had showcasing there their version of the car that could go 150 miles per gallon. They had the most advanced AI because it was a network of multiple AIs hooked together called the Neural Network by Google. Google, a multi-billion dollar, if not trillion dollar company. Now, Google, if you consider all the research, has had to be billions of dollars and decades of research to get to this point. And they allowed the teams of whoever showed up, you know, the top AI people, political leaders, presidents of countries or whatever, just like they let them drive the 150 mile per gallon car around the track, they let them have access to this AI neural network for 2 or 3 days. One may have had it paint a picture or write a symphony or write a novel. Well, one team fed it a particular image because the computer has a deep fake protocol, meaning, you know, you've seen these deep fakes of Obama or Trump or whoever. And yeah, that could be detrimental if it's used in a non-comedic way, right? And maybe the government has done deep fakes of Obama or whoever in the past for security reasons. We don't know. But in any case, it is able to detect whether it's real or not, like in 1 second. And it's never been wrong. Okay. So one of the teams feeds it these photographs of the surface of the moon from probes, unmanned probes that can survive the radiation, that were taken of the moon's surface by China a couple of years ago. It fed them through the deep fake program. It says, no problem, they're real. And then, in comparison, which was the true genius of the experiment, they fed them pictures from the Apollo missions of the 1960s, early 70s. And it immediately said they're fake for multiple reasons: foreground fake, background fake, astronaut fake. And this it just went on and on. Every picture from Apollo it deemed to be fake. So you would think this would make the evening news. The most intelligent computer on Earth says that the moon landings are fake based on the photographs in comparison with other pictures of the moon's surface, which apparently are real. You would think that would make the evening news, or at least a side note of curiosity, you know? No mention.
Exactly.
And it got so they were so desperate to cover this up. I found the link that was translated from Russian to English, and then I found, and then that one became dead. And then I went back to the original link in Russian, and it said, when you were about to click on it said, if you proceed to read this article about how the most intelligent entity proved the moon missions are fake, it says all the data on your computer will be stolen and you'll be associated with child pornography. It literally said that. Go to Sobrel.com, scroll down about halfway, see the video I made, and I'll show you the screenshot where it says that. That is amazingly desperate because they know that could be the finger out of the dike, and it might be too late to put it back in because, you know, the god of science is probably the moon landing. I mean, what's the greatest accomplishment of mankind? And as you know, the film opens up with the Tower of Babel, and the Bible says they built it just to boast. Our building's taller than yours, never finished. Then we show the largest machine ever built in the 20th century, the Titanic. And they put in publicity posters the ship that God himself could not sink. And we know what happened there. Tower of Babel never finished. Titanic never made one voyage. And then Tricky Dick Nixon, when he knew they were not on the moon, said putting a man on the moon is the second greatest thing since the universe was created, comparing it to God blasphemously, in my opinion. So there's no doubt that the crowning achievement of mankind is putting a man on the moon. It's certainly the crowning achievement of science. Well, if you had to say what's the messiah of science, it would have to be AI, right? I mean, if either Google is a multi-billion going on trillion-dollar company with decades of computer research, millions and billions of dollars spent on this neural network, either it's a piece of junk and they just are completely inept, or the moon landings are fake. You see? And especially when they do them in comparison, it wasn't just like they fed them the Apollo pictures and it's a glitch, right? No, they
Right.
fed them the Chinese probe pictures of the moon surface. Absolutely no deep fake whatsoever. And immediately after, pictures of the moon's surface, fake background, fake this, fake that. And I've been saying that for years. As a filmmaker, my job is to make fake scenes look real. I can tell you, these pictures were taken with artificial electrical lighting, which means they're on Earth. That's what it means. And it boggles the mind because Fox News, after the Russian former space director said the moon missions were fake a little less than a year ago, they call me the next day. They say, we're putting together this emergency 1 hour special because that made the news. That made the at least the internet news that the former director of the Russian space agency says the moon missions are fake. People said, oh, he's just anti-American or whatever. So Fox News calls me up. They say we're going to do an hour-long special about, you know, whether the moon landings are real or not. And then they say this, and I appreciate their honesty. They said, We haven't read your book. We haven't watched your films. We haven't done any research into whether the moon landings are real or not. And we will be concluding that the moon landings are real, regardless. That's the point of the program.
Wow.
Had they not paid me, I of course wouldn't have done it. But might as well make money. Got to pay my bills, right? And then get this, Fox News, anti-corruption Fox News, allegedly quotes a scientist from 1969, one scientist who was Russian, who in 1969 said this about the moon landings. Congratulations. And that's it. They failed to mention, selectively edited out, the whole reason why they called me, which was 6 weeks earlier, the former director of the Russian Space Agency, not just some random scientist, the director of NASA for Russia, he said the moon missions are fake. They don't mention that at all. They mention one quote from 1969 who said, congratulations. Can you imagine that? They're intentionally manipulating the truth. And this is, quote, Fox News, anti-corruption Fox News, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think, because I mentioned, your documentary to someone recently, and they made a comment like sort of like, oh, well, that's old news. But I said to him flat out, I totally disagree, because to me, the documentary and your book and this whole story is more relevant now than ever, because the narrative is unraveling because of social media, which they've tried to squelch. They've silenced multiple tons and tons of leading people in their field during COVID. Epidemiologists are celebrated up until COVID, until they say something, opposite to the narrative. Suddenly they're disappeared. There's all the things that you went through, which we'll get into. And this is still relevant, more so now than ever, because once you get red-pilled on one event, like for me, it was 9/11 was the first one. And then it just kind of spread out from there. And I think the second one was the moon landings. But the thing is that strikes me is, once you discover that, and I think you flat out just say this in the film, is like, if they really did it, why would they have faked any of it? And once you like start peeling back these, like, okay, this image is obviously faked. You got shadows going in three different directions. Okay, that's fake. Then your mind automatically, at least for me, goes to, okay, they're lying about this. Why? First of all. And second of all, what else are they lying about? Because, I mean, we've seen the last couple of years of all this misinformation from the corporate media about COVID and about, all the wars that's been happening. And once you start to peel back the layers and you see that they're lying about X, they're lying about Y, they're, A, B, C, D, it starts to unravel their narrative, and then it makes sense why they're trying to silence, like, doctors, for example, during COVID, or trying to silence you about this, or silence journalists who are covering, Syria or Gaza or whatever the topic is. Just pick it. These people are being suppressed because it's going against their narrative, and I can't help feeling like, why?
Well, yeah, I would tell your friend who says it's not relevant. And that idea that it's not relevant, there's a it's not an illogical thought in and of itself. So we have to explain why it is relevant. And here's why. For example, let's say there's a child murderer out. Okay, once a month in whatever city or state, a child just drops dead and his body's on the side of the road, one a month. And it goes on for 5 years, goes on for 10 years, goes on for 20 years. Let's say it stops and there's no child, dead children for 10, 20 years. Is that irrelevant now that it's stopped? Not until the guy's caught, right? Not until he's caught because he's still at large. And the people who faked the moon landing, killed Kennedy, did 9/11, and did this little 3-year episode, they're at large. And they're just getting more and more murderous and more deceptive. And they're using our money. I mean, one of the most alarming chapters in my book, Moon Man, again, it's at Sibrel.com, an audio that I read, Kindle or print. It's second to the last in the book. It's called NASA's Greatest Fear. And here's why. I made this multi-million dollar film A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. Well, I can't say multi, let me, $1 million film. And I was financed by a millionaire who builds rockets for NASA, who knows that it's fake, who wanted to expose it. Okay. And I'm producing it under the theory that it might or might not be true. And so I have all this money to do all of this research, hire private detectives, track people down. And I found a bunch of information I was asked by relatives of astronauts not to put in the movie because they're pursuing their own legal course of action. Now that they are deceased, I put it in the book. And basically, I interviewed the widow of the man who was going to be the first man to walk on the moon, whose name was Virgil Grissom. And according to his wife, who I interviewed for 4 hours, and according to his son, who's a 747 pilot, who I interviewed for 3 hours, their father and husband, who was going to be the first man to walk on the moon, was murdered by the CIA because he was a whistleblower at NASA. She told me that he came home from work on January 26, 1967, and said, "Hon, for some strange reason, for the first time ever, the CIA is all over the launch pad inspecting the equipment." And the very next day, he's dead from faulty equipment. And that event happened only days after he held an impromptu press conference because he was so frustrated that the equipment was nowhere near being able to go to the moon in 2 years. He said it was 10 years away. He held an impromptu press conference, took a bunch of reporters up to the top of the rocket without permission, and affixed a lemon on the door the size of a grapefruit, calling the thing a lemon, a piece of junk. And of course, he was silenced a few days after that. That's in the book. You see, let's just say they faked the moon landing, didn't kill a single person. I hate to admit it, but I almost admire their cleverness, right? It's like the story you hear the people who tunnel from the dry cleaner into the vault and get the gold, right? Good for them. But not if they kill three guards, slit their throats when they have wives and children, right? You don't respect them then, do you? Because what this means is the federal government, which takes a third of our income, a third, they then use that money to fake moon landings and keep three quarters of the $200 billion in today's dollars. They spend $25 billion to put on a show, maybe, and they keep $175 billion for whatever. And they use that money not only to fake the moon landing, to lie to us, to rob us, they use that to pay the salaries of the CIA agents and the hardware to kill Virgil Grissom and two other people who were going to expose their crimes. We're paying for the murderer of our fellow citizens and for our own deception. Now, before the Constitution was the Declaration of Independence, which says when any government becomes destructive of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. So it's not illegal to secede from the United States government. We have a legal authority by our founding fathers that predates the Constitution. And they're killing us with our own money. They're destructive of life. And I don't care if 9 out of 10 people are dropping dead because of a boogie virus going around. It's still your right to open your business and to go walking about if you so choose, right? There's still 10% of the people alive who need to go to the store and buy toilet paper, right? And 10% of the shop owners are still alive to serve them. If one group of people can tell another group of people they can't go to church, they can't have dancing at their wedding, and when they are able to go to church, that they can't sing. This is what we were told. You understand? You can't have church first for a year, and now you can have church, but you can't sing. If one group of people can tell another group of people that, then either the first group of people are the parents and the second group are the children, but that's not the case. We're all adults, right? Then it must be master and slave. There's no other way. How can someone tell somebody you can have four people at your child's birthday party, but not five in your own house on your own property. How is that possible? So they're destructive of life, they're destructive of liberty, and certainly if it's my pursuit of happiness to go to church or open my business or walk, I mean, people are being arrested for going swimming in the ocean. I mean, what is going on? Why is one human being, if we're all equal, isn't that what the Declaration of Independence says? We're all equal. If we're all equal, then how come one person can arrest a person for going swimming? So that's master and slave, I think. Here's your permission slip to travel. I mean, here's your permission slip to open your business or whatever. I mean, how did this become normal?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think that this story around this moon landing, I think is a big part of that, because, and it's something I was thinking about earlier today, before we came on. And it's, they were able to pull this off and trick probably most of the people in the world for a long time, right? And my head goes right to, okay, why did they do that? Number two is like, wow, if they could pull this off and trick not only all of us at home watching, but probably tricked all the people in the control room who are watching the monitors and looking at this data flash across their screen and calling this person, hey, make sure this, blah, 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 all this communication taking place. All those people are tricked. We're all tricked. I mean, if they could pull this off, then what else since then, with far superior technology with video editing and photo editing, what else have they lied to us about? And that's what I was mentioning before about peeling back these layers. And once you like find, everyone gets has their red pill thing, right? Once you begin to get red pills and you start to like that spell gets broken and you start looking around and really thinking logically about things, and you think like, okay, well, they lied about this, they lied about that. They're able to pull this off. They were able to, fake all these photos in the 1960s. This same group of people, this deep state CIA goons are, buying up all the LSD in the world. What the heck are they doing with all, you know what I mean? They were the CIA in particular, just to focus on them for a second, has been responsible for some of the most nefarious activities, in our lifetimes. And if they're willing to fake this moon landing, if they're willing to fake the narrative about 9/11, if they're willing to fake, the narrative around JFK assassination, the RFK assassination, the MLK assassination. I mean, just the list goes on and on. Like, what in the hell are these people up to? Like, what is the end goal for these people? Is it just complete control? Is it you gonna, I think, the CIA, that was their whole deal, right? Well, first of all, they weren't even supposed to be operating in this hemisphere. That's number one. And they're clearly doing that. But, their primary mandate was the collection and control and collation of information from everywhere, right? And it's something, maybe that was the point, and maybe that was the how it began, but it quickly transitioned into like the control and the manipulation of not only information, but people's minds, social movements. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's incredible. And that's why, I
Well, yeah, there was a nonprofit organization that I guess is like a media watchdog. And I forget who it was. Was his name Chavez, some guy in South America that this federal government didn't like, who was democratically elected, right? We're supposed to promote democracy, right? And they did a survey. They just like picked 1,500 newspaper and magazine publications. And they said, okay, all of these newspapers and publications covered that leader in South America and the idea that it was okay for the CIA to assassinate him. Okay, so out of 1,500 newspapers and publications, 100% of them said killing him was a good idea. No contradiction whatsoever. No contradiction, not even one, among 1,500 newspapers. Now, I would say that's centrally controlled. Central intelligence, which means information, central information agency. I'd say it's working well. Every newspaper, TV, radio station said they were on the moon when they were in Clovis, New Mexico a year earlier, right? And these people are still running the show, and that everything improves over time, right? Cell phones improve over time, microwave ovens improve over time, and so does deviousness. So these people have only gotten better. Now, what's their end goal? Well, we outnumber them, and it seems like they're trying to get rid of us, is what it really seems like. I mean, do you realize that in the last 50 years, fertility rates, right, the ability to conceive has dropped by 65%. Now, if you believe in the truth in ancient texts, there's actually an ancient text in the book of Leviticus, and it says that God said, don't crossbreed species. Don't do it. Don't take a, you know, two animals of a different species and try to come up with a third one. Don't do it. Now, when you do it anyway, and the best example I can come up with is when you take a horse and a donkey to make a mule, the mule is sterile. Every time you want a mule, you can't mate a mule and a mule, because when you break that DNA chain, the negative outcome is sterility. Well, it was about 50 years ago where they started introducing genetically modified food. Do you realize that Americans demanded about 10, 15 years ago, they demanded that they want to know whether their bottle of ketchup or tuna fish is genetically modified. They demanded it. You know what percentage of Americans wanted that? 90%. 90%. Have Americans ever agreed on anything
Wow.
by 90%? My goodness, we live in a democracy, right? That means 51% have their way, right? 90%, and that was vetoed. No, we're not going to tell you. We're not going to tell you whether it's genetically modified or not. We're not going to tell you. You see, and you know, there was a famous former vice president of a certain company selling a certain medicine for a certain illness that people didn't even have, and yet we're being told to take medicine for an illness you don't have. In any case, he said, very profound. When you're a killer and you kill 300 people, what is it to just add a zero to it or add another zero? That people cross a line. And there's another ancient text that says people's consciences, you know, their ability to discern right and wrong and to act accordingly, it can be seared with repetitious evil. That they no longer have a conscience. They're no longer able to not do evil. And apparently, that is going on. I mean, the largest number of people who are murdered through genocide, which is people being killed for their race or political beliefs or whatever, that happened less than 100 years ago, the 20th century, and we're only 24 years away from it. And the 20th century saw over 100 million people die because of tyrants who were trying to eliminate them. And now those tyrants are still in charge, and they're trying to do it in a more subtle way than lining people up and gassing them or machine gunning them. I hate to admit it, and it's like I was shocked when I saw the footage of them faking being halfway to the moon, which proves they didn't go. I was shocked. And the man who said this, you know, what is it to just add another zero or another zero? He was shocked to admit that this medicine that his company was selling as vice president is, best as he can tell, is designed to harm people. And he just can't believe it as he's saying it, but that's just the way that it is. I hear you hear these stories, babies being raped, or you know, all these incredible, I just can't imagine a person could do such a thing. But apparently there are people like that. And you know, there's this saying in America, what, functional alcoholic? And I've known a few, and you may know a few. I may have even been a few, been that at one point. Someone who, you know, can do their 9 to 5, smile, and they seem normal and they get along. And then at home every night, you know, half a bottle of whiskey or whatever. There are functionally mentally ill people all over the place in the United States of America. I've traveled to multiple countries, and the mental health of Americans is worse than any other nation I've ever been to. People are functionally crazy. And you take a couple of these functionally crazy people and you put them in positions of power. And why is it that the evil rises to the top? Because at some point, good people try to get to the top to make a difference, and they're squashed out. They're threatened with death or the death of their children. My source, who was at Cannon Air Force Base, who died, who said as he's dying, he's a murderer, I was confirming this information with his son less than 2 years ago. And his son was visited by CIA agents, and they said if he talks about his father's participation in the moon landing fraud ever again, they will kill him and his family. This is less than 2 years ago. These are people we're paying taxes to, right? We're paying their salaries. You see this?
Wow.
And as you know from the book Moon Man, the true story of a filmmaker on the CIA hit list, after I found this footage of them faking being halfway to the moon, I had major, major problems with being followed and drugged and harassed. And I describe, I think, in the book, this person who I, was following me, and I caught up with them and started following them, and I looked at them, eye to eye, and they looked like they would kill me and go home and have a fried chicken dinner and not think about me tomorrow. And these are the people who are in the CIA, some of them anyway, and running the world. Because when honorable people get close to that, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And you can't really blame them because they will take you down one way or the other, with a bullet or by some other means. And they record everything that everybody did to the best of their ability. So if someone wants to become president, they can pull up some footage, some phone record of where they called a prostitute 35 years earlier, right? And bring that up. Or threaten to bring it up if you don't do what they say. And that's the people who run the world. And that's what we're stuck with, right? And so, what can you do except save yourself from this corrupt generation? Back to you, Michael. Rant number two, done.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy when you start breaking these things down and realizing that this is, this nefarious behavior is not ancient history. I touched on this earlier. I'm glad you brought it back around to that. This is not ancient history. This is still going on. And I mean, I think even just a few years ago, when I believe it was Trump was saying something against the deep state, quote unquote, and then Chuck Schumer made this comment afterwards, like, oh well, he's being really dumb here because you get in on the bad side of the intelligence community, they got six ways of Sunday to get back at you. And I was shocked that he said that out loud in front of a camera, because I mean we know that that's true, but that's typically not the thing that you see on the news said by a senator or congressperson in front of a camera. So to
Well,
see that, it's shocking.
everything, I guess, grows. Good things grow and bad things grow. Corn grows and mold grows, right? And I remember the last time I had cable TV, I was flipping through the channels, and in the lower right-hand corner, it said ABC Family Channel, family for kids, I guess, right? And I don't know what show it was, but there were two teenagers on the sofa making out. And I realized if that was on the air when Kennedy was president, the FCC would have pounded on the door of the network president at midnight and dragged him off to jail for indecency. Now it's not only acceptable, it's considered family. And so you have. It well known that this is what the agencies do, right? They can have this all these ways from Sunday. They're just emboldened to boast like this, to threaten people. And who was the guy who was like governor of Illinois, and he was trying to trade or barter Obama's Senate seat? Whatever that guy's name was, he got caught doing that because his telephone conversations were being recorded by the federal government. Did anyone dare ask the question? I don't think they did. Why is the federal government listening to the private phone conversations of a state governor? Right? And then you have another president who apparently the CIA doesn't like for some reason. And their transcript of a private conversation with a world leader. Okay, we're talking about the president of the United States and the president of some other country. I don't remember what it was. The transcript of their private conversation was published in the newspaper. Did anyone ask how did someone get the transcript of a phone conversation of a president of the United States? Well, obviously, his phone is bugged, right? Well, who would bug the president of the United States' phone? Russia or the CIA, right? And I don't think Russia would dare do it. I mean, well, they probably would try. But anyway, no one asked that. No one asks who's listening to the private conversations of the president of the United States? No one asks that question. I mean, come on,
That's
people.
amazing. And I think people are beginning to ask those kind of questions though, more and more. And because I think the genie's out of the bottle of social media and the internet is at a point where like they can't silence everybody. And the more they try, the more it seems the information eventually gets out. And it just it's incredible that these people have been manipulating us and using our money, like you've stated several times. I say it all the time. It's crazy that we're paying these people to deceive us, get us into wars, screw over the poor. Like it's the same old story. And we're headed basically in the same direction as Rome, which is not in a good direction. And I'd like to touch on really quick since we're talking about the deep state, like what exactly happened to you when it was on the steps of the CNN building, I believe, right? You were sort of, we'll say, apprehended.
Yeah, well, it's a long story, and I used to never tell it in a podcast interview, but I figured because I'm kind of trying to put this part of my life behind me and leave a final statement for the historical record through the book, I would do that. There's a couple of chapters in the book Moon Man, the true story of a filmmaker on the CIA hit list. One is called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to CNN, and one is called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Church. And basically, I had this millionaire backing me. I got all this archive footage of NASA, and someone, a whistleblower at NASA apparently, sent me some classified footage. And so as I'm editing my movie, again, you can see it for free at Sibrel.com, I pop in a tape and it says on the screen, don't show to the public. I'm like, oh, this should be good. So I hit fast forward as I normally do, looking at, many hours of footage. And I see the same shot for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, this is unedited. Nothing from NASA was unedited except this and one other reel. So I go back to the beginning and I hear NASA say, hey, the TV picture looks great. Then there's 4 seconds of dead air. Then I hear a third channel say, talk. And then I hear another channel say, Neil Armstrong starting to speak. So there's someone prompting Neil Armstrong to speak with talk. Well, he apparently was on the rocket, but he never left Earth orbit. And what a surprise. Here we are 54 years later, and they still cannot leave Earth orbit. That's why there's mannequins orbiting the moon in the latest mission. Isn't that interesting? You can play golf and drive cars on the moon with 1960s technology, but today you can't even land, and you can only send mannequins to orbit the moon. People can't even orbit the moon. But you could play golf and drive cars on it 54 years ago. How about that? Something went wrong there. In any case, so basically they were on the rocket. They never left Earth orbit. And so he's only like 250 miles above the Earth. So if he answers a question from NASA immediately, it'll give away the fact because of radio transmission time that he's really close to the Earth. But he's supposed to be halfway to the moon in this footage. So they estimated about 2 seconds out to halfway to the moon, where he was claiming to be and was not, and 2 seconds back, so 4 seconds. So when he heard NASA, the CIA had like an earpiece, private conversation going on with them, and they counted off 4 seconds and then said, talk. Basically, they told him, don't speak until you hear talk, so that we'll count off the 4 second fake radio delay for you. Oh, that's interesting. And then what I see, of course, the video footage, it's dated 2 days into the flight, so it's not like something they did earlier. And it's allegedly the Earth floating in space, like a black screen with a little blue ball Earth. Well, the lights come up and you see it's a 1 foot model of the Earth that they created from the spacecraft, meaning they're faking being halfway to the moon, which means they can't go to the moon if they can't go halfway. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's them faking being halfway to the moon. I showed it to the news director at NBC where I worked. And he said, this absolutely proves they didn't go to the moon. So I'm trying to get it to CNN because he refuses to broadcast it. I mean, this footage I uncovered, an NBC news director says it proves 100% that they didn't go to the moon. Again, you can see it for yourself at Sobral.com for free, right? And he refuses to broadcast it. He says, I will not go down in history as the man who caused the next civil war. He thinks the public is going to be so outraged if they find out the moon landings were fake, that it'll be the end of the federal government. I'm like, okay, so you're saying if we tell the public how corrupt the federal government is, it'll bring an end to the corrupt federal government? That was supposed to happen. In any case, so I have a friend at CNN and I go to church first Wednesday night. I'm followed from church in the middle of the night. They disable my car. I'm literally being chased on foot by presumably CIA agents. And then I hire a taxi to drive me to Atlanta. And while I'm literally trying to get a tape into CNN of the fake moon landing, I'm surrounded by government agents who take the tape, handcuff me, drug me with truth serum, put me in a black van, I mean, a dark van with no light, start interrogating me, talking in gibberish or something to confuse me. And this is the beginning of my, little adventures. That's hence the chapter, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to CNN. Little side note, I ended up escaping their custody, making my way back to Nashville, and I said, I got him. I'm going to pee in a cup, and I'm going to take this to a lab and prove that I was drugged with this exotic CIA drug, right? And believe me, I told them anything they wanted to know. It was very strong LSD type of drug I was throwing up. I was in La La Land.
Oh,
In
geez.
any case, so I give it to a friend to put in the lab in his name, trying to outwit the CIA, right? Don't want to be too obvious. So we meet a few days later, and I say, well, what's the result? I'm going to show this to the news director, And he says, well, there was a problem at the lab. I'm like, oh, what problem was that? He said, well, they had a break-in over the weekend. I said, yeah, what? He said, well, funny thing, the only thing stolen was your urine sample. And so the people at the lab were like, we don't know who you are, but please take your business elsewhere. And so all these crazy adventures worthy of a feature film are in my book at Sobral.com that I read myself, Kindle or print. Not only do we have interactive 17 video links to back up everything, as far as I know, it's the first or only interactive book that there is. It seemed logical to me with all this video evidence. And not only do we have this interview that's not in the film of the widow of the man murdered by the CIA, who was Apollo astronaut, we have for the first time ever, this deathbed confession of an eyewitness to the moon landing fraud. And we published a list of 15 people who were there at the time that President Johnson was there the first day of filming, gave him as the chief of security, said, only these people can come in. He kept it as a souvenir. We published that in the book. And then the other new information is all these X-Files adventures that I had dealing with the CIA, trying to, prove that we didn't go to the moon, including a recording of an Apollo astronaut when I interviewed him and accidentally left a microphone in his house, wireless, and accidentally the camera stopped or failed to stop recording. We record him and his son talking about calling the CIA to have me killed, word for word, on a private microphone of an Apollo astronaut, talking about having me killed for investigating the moon landing fraud, killed by the CIA, mentioned specifically. Now, why would that be necessary if they really went to the moon? And I'm some silly person who thinks it was filmed at Kennan Air Force Base, right? So that's my third rant. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like if this really happened, it would be so incredibly easy to discredit you, which they could do. They have the money and the resources and the control of the media and whatnot. They could have incinerated you and completely embarrassed you, or erased you from the internet, like all this stuff. Like if they had gone, then they would have some credible evidence that it happened. But as of yet, I mean, and I've been searching for the last couple of years for legitimate proof, and I mean, that's you can't find it. It's not there. And when you like
Well,
as a
yeah, I mean, it's like there's that famous footage because we did a second film, Astronauts Gone Wild, where I track down astronauts and ask them to swear on the Bible if they really walked on the moon. And in one famous occasion, Buzz Aldrin punches me, right? And this is the lengths I've gone to, and it seems like the tradition, according to the CIA, they have their own code, I suppose. They don't really go after the reporter who received the information. They just go after the person who leaked it. And hence, the son, they're threatening to kill him. And so this is, kind of my life and what I've had to deal with about this. But they do shadow ban, for example, the famous punch footage. Some guy who's very pro moon landing, trying to make fun of me. He had less than 200 subscribers on YT. And he copies the punch footage and it gets 2 million views in 30 days because he's pro moon landing. My channel, the original footage, where I have 60,000 subscribers and it's been up there for 7 years, the same clip, has less than a half a million views. So how can someone with 60,000 subscribers have a clip that's been up for 7 years only receive 450,000 views, and another channel that's pro moon landing that has less than 200 subscribers can get 2 million views in 30 days, which is robbing me of at least $4,000 worth of ad revenue.
Yeah, exactly. And it
I
and
wonder
the
how that happened, right?
yeah, it's in the closer I've been feeling lately that, and this is the moon landing is just one example. But I feel more and more lately that the more things I look at closely, the more things I just find are either just direct lies or there are at least many, many holes in the story. And the closer you look, the more holes you find. And you get to a point where, it's like, what do you believe? Because, I mean, we know now, I think most people most people that are content creators online that are looking into this stuff, most of them now know that you can't trust CNN or CNBC or ABC, Fox News, like all the major ones. They're going to get some truth in there, but there's going to be loads and loads of propaganda. I think we're awakening more and more to that, which is good. But I mean, how many people over the years have suffered as a result of this in silence because the propaganda back in the day was so strong and there were no alternatives to TV. You just turned on your TV and the news, whatever the news was on, that's what you saw. So it was much more effective back then, propaganda-wise, because there were just so m fewer outlets to have to police. And I just think that, and this is why I think that this moon landing thing is more relevant now than ever, because it's one of those things that was documented, that was sold to us, and you can easily now at this point find hundreds of holes in the story. You can look back at the Kennedy assassination. You can find hundreds of holes in the story. You can look at 9/11, holes all over that. Everything you look at, any major story, any major historical event in recent history, you have to question it. You can't believe, you can't take anything at face value that you see on the news or in the media. If something is like non-existent, the next day it's everywhere. You tune into different channels and these pundits on TV, these talking heads, they're just reading a prompter. They're literally reading verbatim the same exact phrases in the same way, the same metering, everything over and over again on outlets everywhere, all at the same time. That's powerful stuff. And I applaud you that you approach this, and I think you were probably hesitant at first to like jump into this because of that fear. Because like, hey, what are these psychopaths going to do to me if I come forward and I start talking about this stuff? But you
Yeah,
know, like
I
people,
talked about that in the book originally. I turned down the project for fear it could be dangerous if it were in fact true that they faked it. And I turned down the project. And it wasn't until many years went by when I realized that if they did fake the moon landing, that that's actually more profound historically than if they'd actually gone. I mean, imagine there are two worlds. One world, they go to the moon, plant a flag, come back. That was a close one, didn't get killed. Another world, we're the leading country that all the immigrants want to come to because it's so great, that claims to be the light on a hill promoting democracy, that they lie to their citizens, murder people to cover up the greatest accomplishment of all time, printed in encyclopedias, printed on coins, printed on stamps, give them medals of honor for being such good liars. What if that happened? You see, that's more profound than if they'd actually gone, so much more profound. Do you see that? It's absolutely incredible that it ends up being true. And I changed my mind. And I had divine protection and providence bringing me a millionaire to finance these movies and a whistleblower or somebody giving me this footage that proves it. And then just as I'm editing this book, put in touch with the man who I witnessed them film Apollo 11 at Cannon Air Force Base, which I found out is the Special Ops headquarters. I pulled out an old tape. I did a Bill Casing. He said it was supervised by the United States Air Force. And there you go. And it's all there and it's being suppressed to the best of their ability. And we'll see if the truth ever comes out. I don't know. I think the best thing is just try to save yourself from this corrupt generation. And see what happens. Pray for divine intervention.
Yeah, well, you know, that's true. Totally agree. But I mean, there's, you know, you can also do what you did, and that's answer the call, follow the leads, do the work, put out the information, and you know, just let people judge for themselves whether that's true or not. But at least give them that little spark. They're like, hey, you know what? You need to look at this because this doesn't something's weird. Something does not add up here. Look at it yourself. And I think the people, you know, with the internet and modern technology, although it is very collated, it's very controlled, and it is, you know, sort of the invention of the military, really, when you come down to it, it's still a resource for people to hear about. Oh, hey, did you hear about this? And you can some I mean, you have to be careful, of course, but every person now has the ability to find your book, find your documentary, and start down a path and start questioning things. And the more things you question, the more things you find are just not true. And then we've been lied to. And
Yeah,
that's what
again,
that's, yeah.
if there's a serial killer who hasn't been caught in your neighborhood, would you want to know?
Oh, hell yeah.
And there you go. So if these people are still running the show, shouldn't I think that's an important piece of information, isn't it? And they need to be brought down. And I think exposing the moon landing fraud is the key. There's, you know, when the news director said that this footage I uncovered, which proves the moon landing fraud, again, it's on the homepage of Sabrell.com, and a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. I didn't believe him. I didn't think it would cause a civil war. I said, you're overreacting. It may cause reform in the federal government, but within just the last few weeks, Michael, I'm like, maybe it will. Maybe it will. Not so much a civil war, because civil means one side against the other. It's just the federal government has gotten out of control. They're taking our money, they're lying to us with our money, and killing people who try to expose their crimes. They're becoming murderous. They're more tyrannical than King George ever was on his worst day. And these are the people in power. This is dangerous. It's dangerous for the world. Because, I mean, we have the biggest military in the world and we're constantly at war with people. I don't understand how that became commonplace. Why can't we mind our own business? Why can't we fix our own roads? There are schools that entire school districts don't have a single student who passed a math exam. We have roads that destroyed my tires, brand new tires, $300 down the drain because of a pothole they can't fix on a federal highway with my taxes that they keep filling and it's a foothole again, filling it foothole. And I caught it on the bad day, the day before they filled it up for the 10th time. You see, I don't understand this. This something should be done, don't you think? If there's, crime going on, shouldn't somebody do something about it? And I think the moon landing fraud is the key. Expose that, show that, prove that to the public, and they will demand reform. And that's what we need. We can't let this keep going, or they will destroy us all.
100%, 100%. That's a great closing statement right there. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Bart, thank you very much for coming into the bunker with us, sharing your experiences, and I implore everyone listening to this to go to Sibrel.com, Sibrel.com, and all the videos like Bart said is available on there. You can watch it for yourself. The book is available there. Read the book, watch the documentary. Start your journey, start opening your eyes and looking at things, because not everything as it seems is as it seems. And this Apollo thing is huge, and although it happened a long time ago, I think is more relevant now than ever, because like you said, these people are still in power. These same tactics are still going on. People are being disappeared for for blowing the whistle. And yeah, I think the only way that's going to stop this is for like people like us to just keep spreading the word. And I commend you on a great documentary and a great book. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you, Michael. I wish you the best.
You too, Bart. Thank you. Okay.
Now, so if you could just put first in the description a link to Sibrel.com that people can click on it and see the book if they want to, or audiobook. You did the audiobook, didn't you?
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever listened to an audiobook. Maybe I have. I think I
It's
might have
great.
started one.
It's great for like a work situation where like I can kind of put like one earbud in at work and listen to things all day. So that's where I get a lot of my content and a lot of my podcasts and audiobooks and stuff I listen to while I'm working, which is nice.
Oh, that's nice. So if you, I appreciate it if you could put the link in there.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, thanks for bringing up
Well,
that Google AI analysis thing, because another friend of mine mentioned like, hey, make sure you mention that. I'm like, yeah, it's on his site. He's aware. It's just
yeah,
amazing.
that's pretty amazing. I think maybe that's the finger out of the dike. It may take a couple of years, but they really tried to suppress that with that child pornography warning. I mean, that's pretty desperate, don't you think?
That is next level desperation to cover up. But I mean, hey, I mean, we know by this point, this is they're willing to, if they're willing to lie about this thing, if they're willing to lie about the Gulf of Tonkin to start an entire war, if they're willing to lie about weapons of mass destruction to kill 1 million Iraqis, like there's nothing these people are not, there's nothing beyond these people. They'll do anything and everything to stay in power and to keep control and to keep everybody tricked.
Yeah, well, we'll pray for divine intervention.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, again, thank you very much, Bart, and you have a great
Sure.
evening.
Yeah, just send me a link when you got it.
Will do. Will do.
Take care.
You too. Thank you.